All right, what's going on? It's the second Ken Berman podcast in the middle of the day. Something happened and it made me think of something, and there we go. So I had to record. Okay. Crazy stuff going on, wouldn't you say? If you pay attention to politics, global, whatever. Seems more crazy than normal on the crazy scale. And I was wondering if that's because it is. And we do live in crazier times than normal. Or have we lived in crazier times in the past? I don't know, I caught Rachel Maddow on YouTube. Somebody's throwing some compilation of Rachel Maddow up there. She's talking about how we've had crazy times in the past, you know. We'll get through this. Hold my hand. All right, Rachel, I'm going to hold your hand. But just paying attention to everything, it takes a toll on you. You know what's odd? Broadcasters getting sick. Brian Williams getting sick. Rachel Maddow getting sick for a couple weeks. Happened over the last few months. Not saying anything bad, not saying anything negative, just they're working so hard, it's so stressful, it takes a toll on your body. Like it's tough to digest all the craziness that's going on. Now, so trying to digest it, right? It's good to have a good digestive system, right? So a balance of gut bacteria, which I guess kind of makes sense, but gut bacteria is what I meant to say. A balance of good gut bacteria. Yes, say that 5 times fast. That helps you digest things. You know, hey, we've all been there. I think that I'm not going to make this a podcast about going to the bathroom, but you know when you're eating well and you're feeling good, and you know when you're not. And it is the exits kind of are symbolic of that. So the point of that, we're going to go back to holding hands with Rachel Maddow and crazy stuff going on. So why is everything so crazy? How do we handle this? How do we digest all this? And I think that humans weren't designed to handle this much information at a time. We were kind of built to handle like 200 or 300 people in towns that we lived in. Imagine you're in a small town in Pennsylvania, you know, one of those crazy Amish towns, and there's just like 200 or 300 people that you're half related to that live there. You would know everybody, and you would know the dirt on everybody, and nothing would surprise you, and it would be a calm existence. And you would churn your butter and do whatever. And your brain could handle that. But to get exposed to more and more and more, eventually our brains just, we can't handle a million freaking things going on, right? Now, we're getting hit with a million different things because of the internet. And truly becoming one with our devices and one with the common frequency of the earth. Like, for example, let's do an example. Like, okay, when there are storms going on, when we feel the effects of the change in the climate because we're putting more carbon into the atmosphere. And we're heating, we're fogging up our atmosphere, and that's why we're sucking in more heat. Like we're putting that crap out. I mean, I'm gonna bury my Audi, my car. It's still working. I'm putting oil. I feel terrible. It's dirty. I'm shamed. I'm gonna do an electric alternative. You know what else I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do that by January 1st too. That's my pre-New Year's resolution. Is the Audi is done. It's been a great run, but you're too dirty now. And you're expensive, but you're awesome. I don't know if I can find a car that drives as fun as the Audi. Is there an electric convertible out there? Let's find one. That's what I'm going to buy by January 1st. Anyway, let's go back to digesting information, though. We're one with our devices. We're one with the common flow of information. Right? If we were feeling a hurricane, we're one with watching that hurricane. Right, or we're one with whatever, and in the past it couldn't be like that. Like whatever, 300 years ago, you think that people in Ireland knew that there was a huge hurricane that was destroying Puerto Rico, like had any clue, or cared? I'm actually looking at a map right now. It's freaking funny. I have this map. I don't know what the hell this map is. This is the World Travels. Wow, it has my family's name on it. Oh, it's for traveling. No shit. Hold on a second. This is going to be a thing now. Huh.
You're supposed to record the cities you visited and the routes you've traveled. And it's a cool looking map. It's a quality looking map. I'm going to use that from now on. I'm going to start going places. It's time to renew my passport. I'm not going to be like Manafort and have three. I'm just going to have one that works. Right now, I don't think I have any. Anyway. No, I have one, but it's expired. Anyway, not that you care. So, digesting information. All right, so here's the deal. It's because we're one with our devices and we're one with this common flow of information that we can all watch together, that's capable now. Now, there could be, theoretically, at this point, a 7 billion, 5 billion maybe, because don't think of like toddlers. 5 billion... 5 billion person like watching a show, 5 billion viewer Super Bowl, like that's legitimately possible, sort of, because there are that many people that have a phone, you know, and that's not the number I don't think, but that will be soon. And by the way, that's the solution to North Korea. God, why don't I talk about that now? Perfect. But let me speak to the larger issue of this podcast, which is. We're seeing a crazy world and we're having trouble digesting it because we're not used to getting this much information. Let's assume that we're going to be getting this much information for infinite time in the future, because that's how the internet that's how information works. It flows at the speed of light. And so now we have to develop tools to harness what we want because so much is available in the stream of information. Imagine the stream is like a rainbow of different things. Like the top color is, you know, the scores of the football games today, if it was a football or the hockey games today. The next yellow stripe is, you know, where's Trump right now and what's the craziest thing he said, or Trump's Twitter stream is the, you know, the blue stripe or whatever. Then there's a red stripe for, you know, you have your kid, maybe you're at home, or maybe you have your kid at school and you got to go pick up your kid at school. And so there's a monitoring of how your kid is doing on that stream. Like there's all these different streams in this rainbow. We have a million things. And then there's also, you know, an infinite number of colors going up into the sky of all these things that you don't care about, like Ann Coulter or something, right? That's the only time I recommend using Ann Coulter's voice, when you want to say something that's completely irrelevant and you're glad you haven't heard it in a long time. I feel good about that. So you have all these streams, right? This huge rainbow of information that can flow toward you. How do you pick from this infinite stream? Oh my God, there's this cool stream that I want, but it's all the way up in the Himalayas away from here, away from me. I'm actually looking at a Google Chromecast picture of what looks like the mountains. Beautiful. That, by the way, is the cool little side tangent here. The coolest thing, instead of getting a bunch of paintings in your room, if you want a cool ass room, get a bunch of flat screens and then get Google Chromecasts on all of them. And you have these like crazy rotating, awesome images of what you would say is billion-dollar artwork. It's gorgeous. It's dishy, isn't it? Anyway, backing up. So how do you choose to do that? How did I choose to get a Chromecast and have my TV on randomly at all times? How did that happen? Well, I saw a device for $35 and I was like, wait a minute, you can send anything from your phone immediately or TV and then go off and continue using your phone like a normal person? That's the most brilliant thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't need cable ever again. And I buy them everywhere and I give them to people. I drop them off like rabbits drop dingleberries when they run away. I'm like, hey, I got a Chromecast. Think, if you know me and you're listening to this podcast, think about the Chromecast that you have and whether or not I bought it for you. There is more than a few people that have a thumbs up answer, including my 94-year-old grandfather, who's not listening to this, but who I bought a Chromecast for and we used for a weekend once. And I'm going to use it again when I go back. They're awesome. Anyway, how do you choose the correct streams of information from what's out there? And the answer is we have to automate our decisions a bit and let AI do things for us that we trust it to do. Otherwise, we won't be able to maximize what we can do and maximize what we can have. Like, it's so interesting for It's incredible, actually, the generation that we are. If you're about my age, say you're between 30 and 40, right? You grew up before the internet really existed and was commonly used. You went through your formative educational years while that change was happening. And then now you get out and your kids have never seen a world that wasn't like this, where you can just get whatever video you want on demand and watch it at night on TV. On your phone with you, wherever you are. Like, oh, I want to watch Dan TDM talk about Minecraft. I can do it right here, like in the car, while my dad goes and pays for the gas. You know, like that's the shit lifestyle. Like, oh my God, when we were kids, when I was a kid, somebody gave me. I think my grandpa gave me a miniature television. It was like a miniature radio television, small thing. It was about the size of a big smartphone. And I had an antenna and it caught like the 7 main channels or whatever on UHF. And its battery would run out after half an hour, like AA batteries or something that were rechargeable and terrible. And that thing, I thought, whenever I had that thing and there was randomly something I could kind of get a frequency on, that was the coolest thing ever. And then you had to be restricted to the 6 or 7 channels. Now you could call up anything ever for free. God, through the world we live in. The world we live in. Anything ever basically for free. If you name it. You tell me something and I probably will find it for you for basically free. Like a free Amazon Prime membership will probably get it for you. Whatever it is. Like, think about a movie you can't get. Is there anything that exists like that anymore? I know there's some dude who bought the rights to all his stuff and then won't show it, and then he died. I can't remember what his name is. Maybe that guy's a problem. But somebody can grab him now and put him on YouTube, and you know what? His ass is dead. And unless his freaking estate is coming after people, we're going to get his movies. Somebody asked Ben Mankiewicz about that or something. I may go see them when I'm in LA next week. That's right, I'm going to California. All right. We have to use tools to digest what we want and make our lives better. And so that's why the campaign that the Russians had and still use, which is muddy up information by putting out slime through Facebook and Twitter and everything else. Like, put your propaganda out, pay for your propaganda, put it out. That's really what they're doing. Now, we're so confused because we don't understand what propaganda really is anymore, because everyone gets a say. You know, it kind of, in the olden days when we grew up and there were just a few channels and it was Peter Jennings or Dan Rather or start naming some broadcasters from the 90s. Jim Vance just passed away. He was a local guy here in NBC. Oh yeah, your local people are starting to get infected with companies like Sinclair Broadcasting, which I've heard nothing but terrible things about and seen in examples of terrible things. So there's this war on what's out there. Like, you don't have to take in crap. Like, I would never watch a Sinclair Broadcasting news station unless I wanted to find out what people were lying about. But it's nice that I'm aware that they are BS, right? Now, so you have a choice to listen to that. So now, the problem is when you don't know what you're listening to is BS. And this happened to me. That's going to happen to everyone. How do we moderate that? I think we need AI to help us. We need like our personal Snopes. Like a personal AI Snopes for us. Like one that takes into account our own personal biases about our own unique brains and then filters the internet for us to optimize something that we want to optimize. For example, everything's an example. Everything's an example, actually. I can't even go there. Anyway, I don't have all the answers to that, but it's amazing what's going on right now. And I think that that's why we're experiencing the news cycle, and it just, everything seems out of control because we're able to get everything because there's just going to be this accountability, because the truth is kind of existing and oozing out and being absorbed by us if we want it. Streams of the truth just exist and radiate out. It's funny how that happens. Like, if you're Paul Manafort and you got paid money from Russians to do stuff, like, there's traces of money getting wired and shit because everything's digital. Like, yeah. Like, you can get your fake cell phone and your passport and name, whatever, and try to filter things through six things in the Caymans and then mix the money up. But yeah, well, eventually the people that mix the money up get their records. Their records are digital, dumbass. Like everybody's records are digital. Like, everybody's everything's out there. And it's going to only get worse. So if there's this massive accountability that we're all going to have to everything that we do, especially on a grand scale like this, then what? The robots are keeping us accountable. But they're also helping us. So I don't know. Like, I hear Elon Musk is scared. Stephen Hawking, everybody's scared. I know we're scared, but we're also, like, the reason it's going that direction is because the benefits are enormous. So what do you do? Are we going to be technology virgins forever, or are we going to amplify everything for ourselves? And really, you got to rethink society on a global scale. It becomes, we have robots that are going to be able to do everything. So everyone can have their own personal McMansion because a robot can be programmed to do it on solar-powered batteries that just run around and do it for you. Like, we're going to get to that point. If you don't see it going that direction, just wait. Just wait. And we're going to extend our lives indefinitely by totally biologically reorganizing the way molecularly that we're structured when we need to. It seems like we're going in that direction. Like, I saw something about good old Kurzweil. I'm a huge fan of Ray Kurzweil, and I just had an update from him, and there was an article about researchers that found the mechanism that stops the aging process or whatever. I keep hearing that same, that same title a lot of times, but this one was phenomenal in this description. This is the thing about Kurzweil. He's all substance. And scientists decipher mechanism in cells for extending human longevity. So, your cell has like a kill switch at some point, and it replicates a billion times over, and then eventually doesn't replicate anymore. Because telomeres at the end of the DNA sequence, at the end of the chromosomes inside your cell, like, tear off and fray like the edge of a rope, and then eventually, like, it doesn't work anymore. So that happens. But there's also a lot more complexity to it than that, and we're really starting to understand that because we have things like artificial intelligence that are going in and deciphering these massive data sets and really making sense of them and finding and identifying the relationships, and then therefore we can infer what changing those relationships or altering the levels within those relationships will do to things like extending life and make the cell replicate for a longer set of replications, maybe another extra billion, because of the way we do something here. There's an infinite number of ways you can adjust it. And that's what happens is we really analyze the genome on a molecular level and learn how to bioengineer things. It's not just humans. We'll also be able to bioengineer all types of different organisms. We already can, but we haven't thought of that on a, when you mate a lion and a tiger and you get the liger, yeah, that's cute. Yeah, right? I'm sure. But what about, when you can just biologically make a chimpanzee kangaroo? Like, you don't have to have the mate, but you can mathematically do it, structure it, print out your sequence, put it in an incubation or whatever, or implant it or something like that. I don't know. And you end up with a chimpanzee with a pouch. Or a really, let's see, chimpanzee with a really tall neck. I don't know what the heck that would look like. But we're getting to that point. I don't know how to digest all this, but I think we're going in that direction. We're up to 20 minutes. It's a long podcast. I got a lot of work to do. But it just made me think of this accountability that we all have now, and how are we all going to deal with a world like this, but how are we going to be able to change for the better? Because it's definitely going to get better. But everyone's got to accept it. So, all right, I'm out for now.